right, coming back to you again from the West Coast. This is a Politicoast, I guess, emergency podcast, one of our first ones. While I was editing the show this morning that we recorded last night, Christy Clark resigned as leader of the Liberal Party of BC. Something everyone had kind of expected to happen either very shortly after the election or after she lost her confidence vote. I think we'd all kind of settled into a position of Christy Clark was actually going to stick to her word and live on as leader of the opposition in BC. And now she's stepping back from politics. She's announced today she's going to resign on Friday, August 4th as leader. She's also going to resign her seat as MLA in Kelowna West. We don't know exactly when that will be. It might be the same day. It might be 2 years later, but it sounds like it's sooner than later. And now Rich Coleman has been appointed interim leader, I guess, as of next Friday, the Liberal Party of BC.
Yeah, the timing about this was probably the weirdest thing. And I think with the inception of this last week, every time we talk BC politics since she lost the confidence vote, I've been saying some version of, why is Christy Clark still around? And it seems weird that it's just taken this long for it to actually happen.
The one thing that sort of makes sense about today is you do in politics tend to drop bad news you don't want to get talked about a lot on a Friday, that sort of bury it so it's not on the headlines on a morning weekday paper. I mean, with social media, that's hard to do these days, and the internet, people are going to be talking about this all weekend and probably through next week, and it's going to be the front page of the Vancouver Sun, whatever day that comes out, I think Saturday, and the province on Sunday, or vice versa.
Yeah, if anything, the fact that it's kind of, you know, the dog days of summer is going to be the reason it doesn't get a huge amount of traction more than the Friday thing, I think. But it is annoying for us, timing-wise, and now we have to come back here and put this out for our loyal fans.
I think the other reason it's about now is she basically led the Liberals as long as she could. She probably didn't want to go into this legislative session, which will start after Labor Day, as leader unless she was going to stick it out. And so she was probably just weighing her options and went, you know what, now it's probably better to do it than in 2 or 3 weeks. And there was still an opportunity for her to cling on until, you know, a week or two ago.
It still probably would have been better to just leave as party leader the same time she stopped being premier. And this makes me wonder if there wasn't a lot of behind the scenes pushback against her decision to stay on, which finally overcame the resistance this week.
Yeah, it wasn't as classless as the Jim Prentice sort of the night you lose the election, announce you no longer want to be leader of that party or even have your seat before they've even finished counting votes in your constituency. So credit to Christy Clark for sticking around this much, maybe, but it was also a kind of crass, opportunistic last few months for sure, where she, you know, wrote up the clone speech of stealing everyone else's promises, bringing forward bills that everyone had asked her to do for years, and really just trying every last trick she could to cling to power. But now going forward, assuming she resigns as MLA sooner rather than later, this dramatically shifts the balance of power in this legislature, where it was the sort of 43-43 and a speaker tie, assuming the speaker came from the NDP and the Greens, going to be in this awkward position of always having to break ties, probably for the government. Now we're one less Liberal MLA, and the NDP Greens have a working, albeit small, majority and can pass legislation without pushing the speaker into an awkward position. There's even a chance now that the Liberals don't want to go to a quick election, that they'll put forward their own speaker maybe. Do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah, I would definitely stabilize things while at the same time not requiring them to vote for stuff they don't want in order to avoid an election. It would seem to be the smart way to put up a Liberal speaker at this point. But they're definitely going to want to try and keep things as stable, at least until the permanent leader is chosen. And so far, Rich Coleman said it's going to be somewhere between 3 months to 12 to get a new leader. If they were smart, they'd probably aim towards the three-month end. It's just given the makeup of the current legislature, they're going to want to have someone ready to go for a potential early election as quickly as possible.
The weedsy side of it is the Liberal Party executive now has 28 days to get together. This is the president and people elected by the Liberal Party members to run the back rooms of the party. They're going to get together in the next 28 days, decide what the leadership race will look like. That will include the timelines, the entry fees, all these kind of day-to-day operations of how the race will actually take place, how many debates will take place, and that kind of thing. It might be that they go for a very short one. I could also see them taking a little bit more time if they really want to reevaluate who are we as a party, because I don't think that question is clear right now, especially after you had a party run on basically just stay the course, like present very little vision, and then abandon it all in favor of adopting a bunch of opposition pledges in a crass attempt at opportunistic clinging to power. So having a bit more time might actually be a good thing for the Liberal Party as a brand and as a machine, but going shorter term might be their fastest route to power. Of course, they might blow it and give the NDP a majority if they screw that up.
Yeah, but 3 months, that's a fair bit of time to talk about these things. We have general elections, with the exception of the last one, that, you know, last a lot shorter than that. And 3 months, to 3 to 6 months would seem to be a fairly reasonable time to at least get those ideas out there and start to talk about them in a serious way and still have the vote in time. Plus, if it's 6 months, you know, that's the deadline on when the NDP can call the by-election for Kelowna West. So that would be kind of the point where you'd want to have a new leader in place, because not only is there now a seat that they can potentially run in rather than having to do another by-election, get the leader in, which is how it's typically done if there's an outside winner of the leadership race, it also means that's the point where things get less stable and there's potential for an early election at that point. So I think 6 months is probably going to be the limit on what we'll see on this.
Yeah, Kelowna West, since you mentioned it, is where Christy Clark ran to after she lost Vancouver Point Grey here to David Eby. It has, in the last three, probably more elections, always gone over 55% Liberal. It's about as safe as they can find in the province. There's people, I think, already on Twitter talking about, well, what if the Greens didn't run a candidate, which won't happen because they are in opposition. They have every reason to be there. Even if they didn't, and all of those votes went to the NDP, which they won't, that's not how these things work, they still couldn't pull together a majority. In a by-election, things can get a little bit weird, so there could be a fluke, you know, government now win. But by-elections are also generally a sort of referendum on the government when you can sort of express some outrage and vote for an opposition party, no matter who it is, or stay home. Governments don't tend to do well in by-elections, is all I'm trying to say. So the seat's probably going to stay Liberal. But the interim period is where the NDP doesn't have to actually call election in that riding until 6 months after Christy Clark officially resigns. And since the BC Liberals themselves, I guess, dragged it out as long as they could, every chance they could on these by-elections, the NDP has no reason to go, well, we'll do it faster.
Especially when this gives them a little breathing room that they probably won't have after the by-election.
Yeah, now they're able to actually pass some bills without as much controversy, assuming they can get the Greens on side still. Let's look forward, and the Liberals are going to run into a leadership contest. Some names are already being floated around. I mean, they've been floated around since election night, even when Christy Clark wasn't even clear that she would be on into the next election, even if they'd gotten a majority. The one person who's been in the media a lot, especially in the last week or two, is Andrew Wilkinson, MLA from the southern part of Vancouver, one of those ridings that we forget the name of because we've been drinking all afternoon, or at least I have. He's got a decent resume, a lot of people are saying. Still on this, I mean, most of the Liberals are on the partisan side at this point, at least of the top names. Do you think he's got a shot at it?
He does have a fairly impressive resume. He's done a, held a few different cabinet positions, is a doctor and a lawyer, was a Rhodes Scholar. So he has a solid academic background and he's from generally accomplished.
And he's from the city, so he's able to bring that sort of Metro Vancouver focus that the Liberals seem to have forgotten about in this last election.
Yeah, and while there is that, I've never got the impression he's been particularly in touch with kind of the urban aspects of Vancouver. Just as a random example, you know, his election vehicle that he was campaigning around was a big pickup truck, which is just not the sort of thing you normally see in a Vancouver city riding. And it's his colleague just to the north of Vancouver, Point Grey, had, I think, a little smart car or something that was definitely more fit that urban vibe. And it's, I don't know, he's always seen more kind of disconnected from some of the urban issues, despite the fact that he actually has a riding in the city. But it's also worth pointing out, this is kind of the well-off, low-density southwest corner of the city, so it's not the sort of area, it's the sort of areas of Vancouver that fight hard to keep transit out because it's the thing that brings the riffraff in.
Well, I guess on the other side then, one of the people who's very Metro Vancouver and lives in Metro Vancouver, Sam Sullivan, very popular MLA, as much as a Liberal can be in the city of Vancouver, person with disability, well respected in a lot of the nonprofit communities. And generally, people have sort of pitched him as either the next speaker or maybe even next leader of the party, just for all the different realms he's been in. Perhaps he will put his name through.
Yeah, and he's from Vancouver Falls Creek, which is a lot more central and, well, urban. And I think he also just generally connects a lot better. From what I gather, Andrew Wilkinson can be a little cold, while Sam Sullivan seems to have better personal skills and be better able to connect with his community. And I think the Liberals really want to try and make gains in the metro area. Sam Sullivan's a pretty good choice. And he has, you know, a fairly good record on some of the, on a lot of kind of the urban issues that, you know, Metro Vancouver cares about. Sam Sullivan's gone to bat for stuff like transit funding and a lot of those sorts of things when the rest of his party's been a little ambivalent on them. And just as far as the sort of person you'd be looking for if you really want to make Metro Vancouver gains, I think Sullivan's a good choice on that front.
You also have Kevin Falcon, former MLA for Surrey Cloverdale, ran against Christy Clark in 2011 for the leadership. He was a deputy premier, finance minister, and is pretty well respected among the sort of center-right business class of Metro Vancouver. His name's sort of been pitched around, and he's had a couple of the columns, even right after the election, very critical of Clark's performance in the election. I think I get the general sense he's not interested in it, but, you know, that could change in the blink of an eye if he wanted to come back. Christy Clark came back from not being in politics after being in politics.
That's the thing, is nobody's interested until they're all in for it.
And so if he stepped forward, he would definitely already have a machine. He's run a leadership campaign before, so he knows what it basically takes. There's also a few other names like George Abbott from the Interior, who represents Shuswap. There's Todd Stone from Kamloops, who was a former health minister. Mike Bernier from the North, who was former education minister. Basically, anyone who held a former ministerial position under one of the Clark governments could possibly put their name forward, except Rich Coleman, who's suggesting he's not interested, hence why he took the interim leader position. Even Mike De Jong, who was past finance minister, might put his name forward. And all of them have the resumes that would, you know, befit a party leader.
Yeah, we'll see if there's kind of a consensus emergent early on about who the kind of potential front runners will be and if that'll kind of scare away some of the less likely people in there. And, you know, that was one of the problems with the Conservatives is all the big names said no, so every kind of mid-tier person came running into, or mid-to-bottom-tier person came running to try and seize the opportunity.
Well,
probably not going to happen here.
Well, speaking of the federal Conservatives, you could have some of the candidates who didn't win there coming over. We probably won't have, hopefully, the Kevin O'Leary coming from Boston through Toronto to Vancouver, but Andrew Saxton was a former BC Conservative MP, could put his name forward. Rick Peterson sounds like he's moving back to Edmonton to get involved in Alberta politics there, but
making the jump from federal politics down to provincial politics to run for leader seems to be the big thing these days, with Jason Kenney and Patrick Brown both doing it, and you know, it's definitely a possibility. One person to watch might be Diane Watts, former mayor of Surrey, current Conservative MP, would be a reasonably likely choice as far as sitting MPs, past MPs, maybe former industry minister James Moore, who's from Port Moody, on the more on the periphery of the metro area, but might also still kind of bridge that gap that needs bridging since there was a very clear regional divide in the last election.
There's no shortage of names we could make up. I think Watts has enough popularity from when she was mayor of Surrey to make it a possibility, but when she was running in the last federal election, she got criticized heavily for having some of the more extreme versions of the Conservative Party's sort of fear-mongering campaign. She was sort of alarming her constituents about the possibility of like terrorists under your bed, almost, of how extreme her things got. But she still got elected as an MP, so she clearly still has a constituency and a base, or at least people who will vote blue by default. So I think there's lots of names, and we'll definitely keep our eye out for those as they come up. Plus, we have a by-election, so there's always more content for BC political podcasts. Let's switch angles and close with discussing how this maybe affects the other parties. I think the BC Greens are in a pretty decent spot right now. They've made their bed with the BC NDP, and they can basically just make sure that while the Liberals are in disarray, the Greens can both pretend to be like the official opposition, even though they're only three people, but also have a stronger say in government since they have this agreement that requires consultations with government ministers. In every ministerial mandate letter, they were told to consult with the Green Party, essentially, so they will have a lot of say in policy, but also get the option to be an opposition party. But then on our sort of favorite fringe side of the aisle, there's the BC Conservatives, who saw a big opportunity here after the election when the Liberals didn't quite hold on to the gains they'd made previously and then sort of broke all of their conservative side in favor of offering branches to the progressive sides of the legislature. And now there's a leadership race, which kind of sucks all the oxygen out of the right half of the political spectrum in BC, since if you want to effectively defeat the BC NDP, why would you put your time and effort into the BC Conservatives, who, let's remember, are also running a leadership race this autumn?
Yeah, they have tried to capitalize on it, and I don't think that'll be too successful. You know, maybe they'll try and throw someone in to Kelowna West's by-election, but and they seem to be in such disarray. I imagine they might make some entertaining fodder for us to joke about, but probably not going to be a resurgent party. And that has been the Politicoast Emergency Pod for the resignation of Christy Clark. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Politicoast Pod. Leave us a review and let us know what you think. And you can support the show on Patreon. We just uploaded the full Nikki Ashton interview for all of our patrons. So you can find that at patreon.com/politicoast. And if you have any ideas for the show, feel free to send to us. Thanks for listening.